Welcome to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. It's good to get together again to provide facts to our community through Zoom technology and the spoken word. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour, with my good friend and neighbor Mike Metz of Milford Township. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Pat. Welcome to a pre-fundraiser Friday.
Here it is. And because we are the heart of Iowa, Anna Magnuson, a.k.a. Anna Banana, is here with her heart-to-heart messages from KHOY. Hi, Anna.
Hi, happy Friday.
Hey, Anna. Hey, Mike. Big Mother's Day concert planned for Sunday, May 9th. KHOY presents Iowa's Renaissance man, Chad Elliott, and Grammy Award-winning Beau Ramsey on Sunday, May 9th at 5 p.m. at Stevens Auditorium. Join us for the love of music and to support community radio. Tickets are $25 for reserved seats and $50 for reserved seats the first 11 rows. And I understand there's going to be alternate seating, so we will be honoring COVID requirements. And live streaming for home viewing will also be available for $15 single, $25 group. And this is a great way to enjoy this concert with your family virtually. Think about that. KHOY thanks Stevens Auditorium for co-sponsoring this event, and this concert is made possible by a grant from the Ames Commission on the Arts. So that's Iowa's own Chad Elliott and Beau Ramsey Sunday at CY Stevens. Show starts at 5 p.m., and there's a great interview by Carol Horowitz that I hope you've heard or can find at the website. These two musicians are gifts to the universe of airwaves. It's just good to know Iowa has artists like Beau Ramsey and Chad Elliott. I understand they will perform separately and then together, so you'll be hearing a performance that will be one of a kind. And get your tickets today at khoifm.org. The weather will be partly sunny today with a high of 67 and a low of 44 overnight. Cooler in the 50s this weekend with a chance of rain Saturday night and into Sunday. Highs in the 60s again next week with possible showers on Wednesday. And hopefully we'll receive a real soaking rain soon. Now let's welcome Dennis Hart, who works so wonderfully at gathering the news for this week from the pages of the Ames Tribune.
The coronavirus continued making news, lots of it, on the pages of the Ames Tribune this past week. Let's start with last Friday, when the Trib reported that 14 more cases of the virus had been confirmed in Story County, bringing the total number of cases in the county to 10,463 since the pandemic started. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 4.7%. There was also word that the city of Ames had heard from the two finalists for the city assessor's position. The city hosted public presentations via Zoom from Cass County Assessor Brenda Nelson and Boone County Assessor Paul Overton. The city assessor is responsible for assessing all real estate within city limits to determine property taxes. The position became vacant when former city assessor Greg Lynch retired after 15 years on the job. The Trib also reported that the work to honor a Gilbert student who died by suicide last year and to raise awareness about mental health was going to have a new chapter last weekend, as people from the student's life planned to memorialize his love of reading at the farmer's market in Ames. 17-year-old Henry Owen, a junior at Gilbert High, died last September. A foundation was started in his name to honor him and to raise awareness of mental illness and about teen suicide. And there was word about another event planned for last weekend, the first ever Ledges on a Leash educational program. It was held at Ledges State Park, and people were asked to bring their canines on 6-foot leashes. The event included a chance to meet other outdoor and dog enthusiasts while learning more about all the pet-friendly options available at the park. Boone County Area Humane Society Director Vanessa Heenan was also going to be on hand to discuss dog behavior. Saturday's paper reported that the Ames Police Department and the Iowa Department of Human Services were investigating what they called the suspicious death of a male toddler in Ames. Emergency units had responded to a medical call for the boy in the 1200 block of Florida Avenue. The boy was airlifted to a Des Moines area hospital in critical condition, and he died. No arrests had been made in connection with the case. The Trib also reported that 16 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 10,479. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 4.8%. There was also word that Story and Johnson counties were both seeing a spike in the percentage of coronavirus cases among young adults. Story County, the home of Iowa State University, reported that 73% of the new coronavirus cases in recent days were in the 18 to 29-year-old age group. In Johnson County, the home of the University of Iowa, 51% of its new cases involved people in that same age group. A Johnson County Public Health Department spokesman said it makes sense that younger people there are getting the virus because they've had less opportunity than older people to get the coronavirus vaccine. The chairman of the Story County Board of Health, Dr. John Passion, also said that it's no surprise young people are now driving the coronavirus cases in the county because people in that age group are more likely to be risk takers, not wearing masks, going to bars, and socializing. Sunday's paper reported that the latest rankings from U.S. News and World Report magazine showed that Ames has the fifth best high school in the state of Iowa. The magazine ranked more than 24,000 schools across the country based on their performance on state assessments and how well they prepare their students for college. Decorah High School ranked 634th nationally to take Iowa's top spot, followed by Pleasant Valley, Iowa City West, West Des Moines Valley, and Ames. The top-ranked high school in the nation was the Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology in Alexandria, Virginia. There was also word that a Nevada school principal has been recognized as one of the best in Iowa. The school administrators of Iowa announced that Chris Denai had been chosen as this year's Iowa Elementary School Principal of the Year. She's been principal at Nevada's Central Elementary School since 2017. She said she's motivated every day by trying to be a good example for others and by wanting people to be happy and kind. And the Trib reported that the Ames Community Theater in Stevens Auditorium had been recognized for their collaboration during the coronavirus pandemic. The Iowa Tourism Office and Travel Federation of Iowa presented them with the Outstanding Collaboration Award during the 2021 Iowa Tourism Conference in Des Moines last week. The Trib also reported that Iowa lawmakers were in no rush to spend about $1.5 billion in federal stimulus money the state is expected to receive. Republican lawmakers, who control both the State House and the State Senate, have not included any of the latest round of federal money in the state's budget for the coming year. Tuesday's paper reported that 34 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 10,513. The county's 14-day positivity rate had gone up to 5.6%. There was also word that 42 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in the Iowa State University community. All of the new cases involved students. Since the 1st of January, 643 members of the ISU community, including students, staff, and faculty, have tested positive for the virus. This is the last week of the semester at ISU, and graduation ceremonies are this weekend. The Trib also reported on the number of recent coronavirus cases in area school districts. The Ames School District reported that fewer than 6 students had tested positive for the virus in the preschool and elementary school buildings, none in the middle school, and none in the high school. The Ballard School District reported fewer than 6 students had tested positive there. The Gilbert School District reported 1 student had tested positive in recent days. The Nevada School District also reported 1 positive case among students. And the Roland Story District reported no recent positive cases. There was also a report that the Federal Department of Agriculture had announced an extension of several coronavirus waivers so that school students can continue to receive free school meals through the 2021-2022 academic year. In Boone, the school district serves 700 breakfasts and 1,200 lunches each day during the school year. Before the pandemic, the district had been serving about 450 breakfasts each day. There was also word that the song "Here Comes the Sun" would be played over the public address system at Mary Greeley Medical Center in Ames this past Tuesday after a moment of silence, marking 1 year since the first coronavirus-related death at the hospital. Over the past year, the song has been used by staff to celebrate successes in fighting the virus. 47 Story County residents have died from the coronavirus over the past year. The Trib also reported that a woman had suffered minor injuries in a mobile home fire in Ames over the weekend. It took place in the 2600 block of Browning Street off South Dayton Avenue. The mobile home was a total loss, with damage estimated at $75,000. And there was more Tuesday, including word that about 80 people had congregated at the North River Valley Dam in Ames on Saturday, when community leaders cut a ribbon signifying the completion of the Lowhead Dam modification project that will allow safe passage for paddlers and fish alike. At that same ceremony, Ames received the Rivertown of the Year Award. Wednesday's Trib reported that 16 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 10,529. The county's 14-day positivity rate was 5.4%. There was also word that the Ames School District planned to offer a coronavirus vaccine clinic this past Wednesday for students and their families. The event was to be offered for students and family members who were 16 years old or older. Most Ames School District staff have been vaccinated. There was also word that the Nevada School District had already hosted vaccine clinics for students as well as staff members. There was also a report that Ames Mayor John Haley would host a public health forum on May 20th at the Ames City Auditorium. The forum will address the mental health effects of social isolation brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. Thursday's paper, yesterday's, reported that no new cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County, the first time that's been the case in a very long time. The Trib also reported that the county had given out more than 77,000 doses of the coronavirus vaccine. One-third of people living in the county were fully vaccinated as of Monday. Johnson County had the highest rate of fully vaccinated people in the state at 44%. There was also word that the so-called India variant of the virus had been confirmed in Iowa. State officials said they do not believe it is as much of a threat as the UK variant, which has predominated around the state in recent weeks. And in another story, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds defended her decision to turn down $95 million in federal money for coronavirus testing in schools, saying the state already has enough money to conduct the testing that's needed. The Trib also reported on the national search taking place for the next police chief of Ames. The new chief is expected to start this summer. Commander Jeff Huff has been serving as interim police chief since the retirement of the former chief last year. Finalists for the job are expected to visit Ames next month. The estimated annual salary for the chief is between $101,000 and nearly $158,000. There was also a report that of the tens of thousands of public fleets in North and South America, the Ames Fleet Services Division and Iowa State University's ranked in the top 100. ISU's collection of vehicles was ranked 53rd, while the city of Ames ranked 89th. Ames was honored in part for reducing greenhouse gas emissions by deploying snowplows with 100% biodiesel as their primary fuel. And that is your summary of the week's news from the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart, heading out of this virtual seat right into the weekend, but making plans to return right here to Local Talk on Monday morning at 7, when I'll have word on what's been making news all around Iowa. I hope you'll be here, too. In the meantime, go ahead. Have yourself a great weekend.
I hope the day will be a light, a highway.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News. And the music interlude was a song by Elton John and written by Bernie Taupin. Friends, and Jim Pease, retired emeritus professor at Iowa State University, is here, a friend to Any River in Iowa, and friend to many, many outdoors people, and president of the Friends of Ada Hayden Park. Jim, before we talk about Ada Hayden Watershed and the Rose Prairie addition to that watershed, let's begin by talking about the Skunk River. That was a nice gathering at the 13th Street Riverside Park, designating Ames as the Iowa River City of the Year, the 15th such city. And people now have access to the Skunk River. What did you make of that?
Well, I really like the new access. The city has spent a lot of time working on that over the years, and that has really improved that access. The dam there was always something that for paddlers you had to get out there on an access that wasn't completely paddler friendly at all water levels. And I think this the new access above and below, and of course the whitewater park there, will be great fun for paddlers who like that sort of thing. You still have the option of getting out above the whitewater area and putting back in below it, and a much better situation for both. So, yeah, I think it's a terrific improvement for the Skunk River Water Trail here in Story County. And of course, there are accesses all throughout the county from Story City on clear on down to Highway 210 in the southern part of the county. So it's really a terrific resource for the citizens of Central Iowa, especially City of Ames.
Oh, I think so. It's been a project that was initiated back in 2008, I understand. And yeah, now you can go to the Skunk River, and there's large rocks to sit on right next to the river. So you don't necessarily have to be on the river to even, for the first time, be able to kind of get your toes wet in the Skunk River in a safe manner.
And like a lot of the other water parks that have been developed in Iowa, places like Elkader and Charles City and Manchester, those are all parks that have become terrific assets for the community, spawning new businesses in those communities. People now see the river not as something to that causes problems for them every time it floods, but it's a real resource for them that they enjoy. They'll go and watch the paddlers, and it improves fishing, it improves fish passage. It's a win-win situation, I think, for the river, for the community, and certainly for the river resources in general. So it's a terrific improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a boost to our whole structure of economy here.
Right.
So let's kind of drill into the jewel of the Ames Park system, the Ada Hayden water that has been under your tutelage for a number of years now as a friend to Ada Hayden. And I guess everything you said about the Skunk River, you can really apply and more so to what's been unfolding there in Ada Hayden Park, wildlife included.
Oh, it has. It's just been such a great resource for the community. And it's a different kind of park. You know, back in the early 2000s when the community voted to make this old rock quarry a park, community passed that bond issue by 86%. I don't know of many bond issues that get passed by 86%, but that one sure did. And that has just become, like you say, the jewel of Ames Parks. Ames has some terrific parks all over the city, and this one in the northern part of the city, it's just been an amazing park. You can go there any day of the year, almost any time, day or night, and there are people out there using the trails, using the water. It's just terrific. And one of the really interesting things about it, Pat, is that on the western and the southern side of the park, when it was developed, we put in wetlands in there to protect the water supply. So anything that flows off of the watershed, basically from about Top of Hollow Road north, and everything from the west, from the George Washington Carver Road on the west side of the golf course and everything. So everything flows, has to flow, including stormwater runoff from streets and driveways and parking lots, all comes into those wetlands first. And the whole function of those wetlands is then to filter out any of the sediment, and hopefully gives the water resident time enough in those wetlands for the plants to remove nutrients. In addition to the terrific wildlife habitat it provides, it's the function of those wetlands to protect the water of Ada Hayden Lake is a really important function of those wetlands. And of course, anything to the west that comes off that land goes into those wetlands, and again, you have to have enough resident time for it to be removed.
And I understand there is an addition that should complement everything that Ada Hayden is providing Ames. And let's talk about the Rose Prairie, then. That's basically in the watershed of Ada Hayden Park.
Right. Most of the watershed for Ada Hayden is to the north and west of the park, almost to Gilbert, in fact. And it's not a huge watershed, but all of that comes in there. And one of the final pieces before it gets into the wetlands on the west side of the park is what is now years have been trying to build housing there, and the city has an approved plat with the most recent developer. It's been sold three times to three different developers, and the most recent plat was approved by the city. The Friends of Ada Hayden see that as it's a real contributor to, in its current form, in ag land, primarily corn and soybean, the row crop production for the last, you know, dozens and dozens of years. It contributes a lot of soil into, in fact, we have one wetland, the first wetland that comes into there, what we call Pond G, and needs to be dredged now after 20 years as part of the park. That needs to be dredged because so much soil has come in there. Probably a combination of the paving of Hyde Avenue and the certainly the agricultural runoff from there. So back in the 31st of August last year, the Friends of Ada Hayden Heritage Park wrote the city requesting that they, instead of making that into a housing development, turn it into basically a prairie and wetlands to protect, to give added protection to the park. And they referred it to city staff, and city staff put out a report. We were able to respond to that. And back on the 24th of November of 2020, city council voted 3-3, so it failed to actually honor our request. We since hired a firm that produced a nice plan for us, a restoration plan, trying to show the council how we could actually put in trails there, but mainly turn it back into tall grass prairie in a series of step wetlands that would protect the water quality coming in there. So, and they refused to, they considered it, but didn't turn it to staff. So right now, we're in the process, Friends of Ada Hayden Park is trying to, we're trying to craft a compromise with the city. Perhaps part of it will go into tall grass prairie and wetlands, and part of it into housing. And certainly the housing with a conservation overlay would be better than the current agricultural runoff that's coming in there. But, you know, the more houses you have, the more people you have, the more impervious surface you have, you increase certainly the runoff. And, you know, new chemicals and metals and all kinds of things then come into the watershed. So, again, we're just trying to protect the park and by turning it into permanent vegetation.
And how many acres does this addition include?
Yeah, it's 100. The Rose Prairie development is 170 acres. About 143 plus or minus are in row crop production right now. So the rest of it is in a very deeply incised stream on the sort of north-south stream, comes off of tile lines from ag land to the north. And there's some trees lining that deeply incised creek and everything. So if we had our druthers, you know, we would want to see that creek sort of, we proposed putting in a series of three very low, with risers behind them, low earthen dams to temporarily slow down that water coming out of that stream, not impeding at all the ability of the upland landowners from draining their land. They can certainly continue to do that. They would have risers behind these dams, but it creates that, again, that resident time for water to be processed by natural processes to remove chemicals and remove nutrients. So and there'd be a series of three of those in that stream, and then we're hoping to use what are called beaver dam analogs in some of the other drainages into the park. Yeah, it's an interesting technique, fairly new technique. Not new in terms of beavers, but they've been doing it for a long time. But again, these are sort of real simple structures on some of the drainage ways into the park that that would slow down the water and create little sort of moist soil sedge meadows, basically. And again, process things before it gets into the wetlands on the within the park proper.
That sounds just to simulate what the beavers can provide nature. Mike Metz has a question here.
Yeah. Hi, Jim.
Sure.
Yeah, the question I had was if there are interested folks wanting to know more about this, how would they find out about this plan, and what can they do to maybe help push the project along in favor of keeping that water quality and the crown jewel of our park system?
Yeah, certainly. If they'd like a copy of the plan, they can write to me and my email. You could probably put it up on the KHOI website as well, but it's jlpease@iastate.edu, and I'll send them a digital copy of the plan we produced. And if they want to support this, they can support it monetarily with donations to the Friends of Ada Hayden Air Park. And that, again, is you can do that through me or any of the other board members, or you can find addresses on our Facebook page and the blog that we keep at the park. And certainly city mothers and fathers need to know about your support. And so I think you can write the mayor and council either by email. Just go to the City of Ames website and go to council, mayor and council. And there's actually just sort of one email address that goes to all of the council members at once. And let them know that you support this, changing this from a housing development to some version. And, you know, you may not support, the Ames City taxpayer, you may say, oh, I would really like part of this to go into housing. But, you know, so we're, like I say, we're trying to find a compromise that will keep everybody happy.
Well, and we're going to run out of time, but I really welcome the opportunity to weave in the necessity of this type of water quality improvement opportunity. And certainly the 13th Street Riverside Access, there's some pluses going on here. And environmentally and with our community involvement. So how important is this work? I mean, it's been a big part of your life, but do the Iowa rivers need more help?
Absolutely, Pat. There have certainly been lots and lots of efforts in the last couple of decades in particular to improve our rivers, to improve water quality, and we certainly do. We've got a long ways to go, but people are concerned, and it's only through the involvement of citizens in the process, including, you know, Ada Hayden wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for citizens stepping forward and saying, wait a minute. We don't want this to be a big housing development. We want this for a park. And it's Community of Ames stepped up big time and said, let's make this a park. And it's the same thing here. I think we need citizens to step up and help us. So, yeah.
And that plus the pluses, I should give credit to Mike Hovlick, a naturalist friend down in Dallas County. And,
right, yeah.
And I think I use that term, the jewel of the Ames Park system, and I think it'd be good to credit Irv Kloss with that philosophy. I think I heard that from him first. But we've got just a couple more minutes, but what are the pluses that are starting to give you confidence and hope that there is still hope for cleaner water in Iowa?
Well, just if you look at this last year, 2020, and the use of rivers, of parks, of wild areas. People, I think, when we have big stresses in our society, we turn to nature over and over again, I think, to seek solace and to seek some peace in our lives. And we saw it this last year with incredible numbers of people flocking to our rivers, flocking to our parks, because they had the time, because they wanted that peace that nature offers to all of us, free. And you know, in order to get that, you have to get yourself out there. And you walk out the door, get out of the chair, walk out the door, and you can go to these rivers and parks that we have. And Iowa has, you know, this abundance of rivers that we took for granted for so many years. But I see not only that usage, but the interest in cleaning up our rivers over the years, and and the valuable wildlife corridors that they provide is just incalculable in terms of what it brings to our quality of life here in Iowa. So, yep, we've got to have housing, we've got to have economic activity, but we've got to have nature as well, and we need that connection.
Yeah, I think all those turtles and fish and bald eagles and river otters, I think they're encouraging us to do more for conservation and help
them
out.
They sure are. They sure are.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Dr. Jim Pease. Friends of Ada Hayden message is look at this Rose Prairie edition and see where compromise can improve the environment and give Ada Hayden another boost. So thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Pat.
Okay.
Seems to me a crime that we should age. These fragile times should never slip us by. A time you never can or shall erase. As friends together watch their childhood fly. Making friends.
Listening to Local Talk on KHOY Community Radio, and I'm your host, Pat Schlarbaum, with co-host Mike Metz and engineer Mike Murphy. Let's welcome Susan Gwiazda, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames. And Susan, we ran out of time.
Good to be here.
Yes, it is. It's great to have you again. We ran out of time during the Earth Day appreciation to get all the good things. So now we've extended Earth Day into Earth Week, Earth Month, and now we're into May, but it's hard to have too many good Earth Day
messages. It's just year-round. Well, we have a lot of great sustainability projects going on at the City of Ames. A lot of them don't get the attention that I think they deserve. Rich Iverson is our fleet manager. He's been with the City of Ames many years. And one thing I love about Rich is he's always full of new ideas and new ways to look at problem solving. And he's a big fan of collaboration. So when we had this opportunity at the City of Ames to collaborate with a local organization to use biodiesel fuels, I think that our fleet and facilities department jumped on that. And I wanted Rich to come back. He had been with Earth Day Appreciation last year when we kicked it off as the virtual eco fair, kind of talking about this pilot project using our snow plows. And I thought it might be good timing to bring him back. We ran out of time at our Earth Day appreciation, so Rich has graciously agreed to appear today.
Yeah, welcome, Rich Iverson. I remember in 69 when there was a Cyride bus system from the towers to Iowa State. So I remember Ames, or the campus, pre-bus metro system transportation, and what an improvement it makes. And it's great to have you with us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're excited at Fleet about the opportunity to use more biodiesel and more vehicles that are going to help support our city's sustainability. Currently, we have 12 vehicles that are in a program to earn 100% biodiesel during the winter months and throughout the summer as well. So the main issue with using a lot of biodiesel is the temperatures that we have here in Iowa. It's not friendly to use biodiesel during the winter months. And so with this new technology that we've implemented, we're the first city in the Midwest to implement this technology. And we're really excited about the opportunity to reduce our carbon intensity.
So what is the difference between diesel fuel and biodiesel?
So the diesel fuel is a pure carbon petroleum product, and the carbon chains in biodiesel are derived from vegetable oil. So it's pretty much vegetable oil, soybean oil that we're using as fuel. And it has about a 1% or a little below that of regular diesel in there to be in compliance with some of the regulations. But basically it's B99. So it has a much lower carbon intensity on the environment. It's about 85 to 90% less, depending on the blending of the actual products that are used in the biodiesel.
Is part of that product recycled then in the biodiesel also?
Yeah, some of it is. Of course, some of the products that are used off the soybean oil that's gathered, the soybean solids are used in other product making, and the soybean oils, the blending or the process of refining, there's byproducts that are used. There's glycerin and some other products that are used in a various number of products. So nothing really goes to waste. Now, on the animal fats that are used for biodiesel, the fryer oil, some of those are not fuel that we're currently using, but those do have various ways. They're actually a recycled product most of the time from that anyway. So it's good. You know, they're yeah. using just about everything. Nothing goes to waste.
So you've got a fuel that is essentially adapted to the Iowa winter, or it can be utilized in the Iowa winter from your earlier tests?
The way that we're doing that is it's heated. So the truck is actually started with regular diesel. It runs for about 10 to 15 minutes in really, really cold weather. It warms up the engine and the coolant in the engine, and that coolant is used to heat the biodiesel. And the biodiesel, once to an operating temperature, like I said, about 10 to 15 minutes, then that the diesel is purged out of the system and replaced with 100% pure soy biodiesel, and we're off and running. And it'll stay on biodiesel throughout the entire operating period of the truck as long as it's warmed up.
Yeah.
At the end of the cycle, the truck runs for about 30 seconds and purges the biodiesel out of the system, the fuel system, and then replaces that with diesel for the next cold start.
Oh, my goodness. So are there other cities that are working with their fleet in this manner? Or this is sounds
we actually, right. So the first city was Washington, D.C. on their refuse trucks. So they currently now, they ran a pilot program similar to ours a year ahead of us, and they had 5 trucks. And they had such great success with it there that they then implemented it on 17 additional trucks. And now I think they're well up over 30. And there's Chicago Parks District has a few trucks in a pilot program as well. They're a little bit smaller. And then some local cities are looking at. Mason City is another city that's looked at this possibility. And now the Iowa DOT is doing a pilot project with this. So we've kind of been a leader there, and it's been good for us and good for the environment.
Oh, that's just really excited to learn this in Susan's introduction, that you're a good man for being innovative on the cutting edge. So,
Maybe Rich wants to mention the partner organizations that worked with us on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So locally we have REG is the Renewable Energy Group, headquartered right here in Ames, and I believe they have 9 refineries across the United States, 3 of which are in Iowa, and they refine primarily soy and other feedstocks into biodiesel. They're the largest producer of biodiesel in the United States, and they are definitely a global player. They produce billions of gallons of biodiesel. And so we're excited to be able to support jobs and the community in that way and work closely with that organization. And not to mention that this is helping the farmers that are growers of soybean. It helps to the market price for soybeans and the use of soybean for our local farmers. So we're really local. The fuel is produced locally, all the way from the feedstock all the way to getting to us.
Well, I think you would be worthy of, if there was a Nobel Peace Prize for biodiesel, you would get the nomination, I think. Is there a way to recognize all that you're setting out to do?
We've just been placed in the top 100 fleets by the National Fleet of Managers Association, and there's 38,000 fleets across the Americas, and we're 89th in the top 100 fleets. And Iowa State was also in there, so that's good for Ames, right?
Yeah, very much so. Congratulations, yes.
We've been featured in a couple of articles. One with in the Iowa Soybean Association has recognized us as a contributing factor to that. So
great partnership. Well. Great partnership there. Well, Susan, could you give us an update on the mayor's bike ride?
Sure. I got a couple of events coming up. Congratulations to Rich and our fleet and facilities department for making that 100th best fleet list. That was a great accolade.
Isn't it? That's wonderful.
Yeah. Other events going on in Ames. May is a very busy month. We will kick off our Monday with the noon ribbon cutting for the Homewood Golf Course Clubhouse. That actually opens today. So if you want to get a sneak peek, you can take a look at the clubhouse today. It will be open to the public, as well as the 9 holes of Homewood Golf Course will completely open. We had 2 holes closed while we were doing some slope stabilization. So those holes are open. It's no longer a 7-hole course. It's now officially back to a 9-hole course.
Yeah, that was a big project. I was able to go out there and look at that. My goodness.
Yeah, it was a big project. It needed to happen. A couple of trees were unstable. They were starting to be eroded, the roots system. So we had to take out a couple of trees. We're always replanting those trees. You know that. We love trees in Ames, and we have another volunteer opportunity for tree planters. The Ames Foundation is looking for volunteers. Also on the same day as the bike ride, I think you could do a double whammy there. May 15th, attend the mayor's bike ride at 9 a.m. But also go on the Ames Foundation webpage and sign up to help plant a tree in some public green space around Ames. They have a tree planting going on that weekend as well. Mm-hmm. I also want to just quickly say congratulations to all our Iowa State graduates that will be graduating this weekend, and also happy Mother's Day to all of our Ames moms, grandmas, and mother-like figures in our life. We cannot say thank you enough.
Well, thank you very much, Susan Guiasta. Thank your motherhood. Yeah. Is that good for today?
I think we got everything, Pat.
Okay. Well, happy Mother's Day. And thank you, Rich Iverson. And thank you, Susan Guiasta, Public Relations Officer for the City of Ames.
Along the boats are coming to Ennis, they're coming to Ennis, they're coming to Ennis. Along the boats are coming to Ennis, hold on to the shore. Or they'll be taking the key from the door.
Longer banana boats and a banana. Are you here?
Happy Friday, yes. I am here with a heart-to-heart messages, quite a few of them. So I'm going to start with this Tuesday heart-to-heart messages program. We talked about the theme of me adopting the belief that motherhood is a choice you make every day to put someone else's happiness and well-being ahead of your own, to teach the hard lessons, to do the right thing even when you're not sure what the right thing is, and to forgive yourself over and over again for doing everything wrong. And that's a quote from the award-winning author of A Year on a Ladybug Farm. And also this past Saturday was busy because I had a special edition of Heart to Heart Messages, which was the poetry and prose edition of Heart to Heart Messages, where I invite writers and poets from England, California, and Iowa to share their thoughts about motherhood and May. And as we know, on Friday, usually, we have Carol Pluckrose once in a while pop in, and Carol provided a poem about motherhood. And so I thought we'd give that one a little listen for a heart-to-heart message as we take us into the weekend, and then I'll share a couple others.
Great.
So my poem is Maternal by Gail Mazur. On the telephone, friends mistake us now when we first say hello, not after. And that oddly optimistic lilt we share nourishes my hopes. We do sound happy. Last night in my dream's crib, a one-day infant girl. I wasn't totally unprepared. There was the crib and cotton kimonos, not just a padded dresser drawer. And then I knew I could drive to the store for the tiny funny clothes my daughter wears. I was in a familiar room and leaned over the rail, crooning, hello, and the smiling baby. She'd be too young for speech, I know, or smiles, gurgled back at me, hello. If I could begin again, I'd hold her longer, closer. Maybe that way, when night opens into morning and all my windows gape at the heart-breaking street, my dreams wouldn't pierce so. I wouldn't hold my breath at the parts of my life still in hiding. My childhood's white house where I lunged towards the flowers of love as if I were courting death. Over the crib, a mobile was spinning. Bright birds going nowhere. Primary colours. Primary as mothering once seemed. Later, I wonder why I dreamt that dream. Yearning for what I've had and have. Why it was my mother's room. The blonde modern bedroom set hidden under years of junk. A spare room's the nicest way to put it, though now all her crowded rooms are spare.
Wonderful.
And that was Carol Pluckrose doing her heart-to-heart message, which was a poem that she shared. I just love that poem. Mm-hmm. She did such a great job. Now, the other thing is, as we come onto this upcoming Sunday, as we take time to celebrate motherhood, I just like to take a moment to recognize whether biological or spiritual, all kinds of mothering should be honored. So to all those aunts, teachers, siblings, neighbors, foster parents, grandmothers, mother-in-laws, spiritual mothers, and all those dads who serve as both mom and dad, thank you to all those who may have not have taken a traditional path to motherhood, but who help raise, inspire, encourage, and love children in your life. And for those who may experience sorrow or pain when others celebrate Mother's Day, we hold you close in our hearts with sympathy and care. Now, in the heart-to-heart message, if you listen to it, which I didn't play today, is an interview with my mom. And so for my mom, who adopted me, my mom is an adopted mom, biological mom, grandmother, stepmother, and all kinds of mothers, is my mom. I read a poem on that Tuesday that she put into my adoption scrapbook, which was this. Not flesh of my flesh, nor bone of my bone, but very remarkable, all my own. And never forget for a single minute that you weren't born under my heart, but in it. And that's from an unknown poet. But I love talking to my mom about me. So I talked to her about, in that interview, about how great I am as a kid. No, I'm just kidding. So my mom always said, as I said before on air, that I didn't give her stretch marks when she got me, but I did stretch her to the limits when I was a teenager. So we have lots of stories of me being a holy terror. And so every time I interview a mom on KHOI, I hold my breath because I'm like, oh my gosh, what story is she going to tell about me? But she did a very nice job if you listen to it and read quite a nice couple of readings. Now, again, as we celebrate Mother's Day, everybody in the studio and out there listening, I am excited because I just literally just bought my tickets to go to the Beau Ramsey and Chad Elliott fundraiser for KHOI. It was really easy. I started with the live stream option. So that way I think that I can invite others to listen in with me as a group, I think, in that feature, right?
Yes.
So that should be fun. And what I was really interested in is I had never, I'm embarrassed to say, but don't tell anybody, Pat, I had never heard of Bo Ramsey or Chad Elliott.
Well, my goodness. Now, there was a recording studio up in Minneapolis called Red House, and Bo Ramsey was one of the early recorders at the Red House studios. And then he formed an alliance with Greg Brown, who is kind of an infamous Iowa musician, and quite often has accompanied Greg Brown, backup guitar kind of guy, at the maintenance shop and different places. But Bo Ramsey also had his own band, and one time I went up to Dubuque, and it was on a river cruise that we had the Bo Ramsey for a couple sets that evening. It was a fantastic way to enjoy Bo Ramsey music because, of the woodland and the river in the background, it was just a delightful memory that I'll always cherish. So he's quite a guy and a Grammy Award winning. And then Chad Elliott, there's a good friend over in Carroll County that we've had on Local Talk named Matt Wietrich. And when we were at an event, and it just so happened Chad Elliott was there also, so Matt wanted his picture with Chad Elliott. And it was kind of through Matt then that I started listening, oh, who's this Chad Elliott guy? And then he's just a rich and rare Iowa treasure of the music land. And anyway, so it's my understanding they're going to have, and they're kind of solo artists, but they have agreed to do something as a duet. So we're going to hear something that'll be kind of like of the moment, of the era. And I'm really looking forward to not only their music individually, but how this duet goes.
Yeah, what a great way to celebrate Mother's Day, is to get everybody together to not only listen to great music, but support KHOI and the community.
Yeah, and it's also for those that have been fortunate enough to be vaccinated, you know, it's a way to kind of, there will be protocols required with masks and that sort of thing. But I guess getting out is going to be an experience that a lot of us have not enjoyed for many, many months. So this will be big.
Yeah, so we can get our tickets at the KHOI website, right? And then also with the Iowa State Center, which is www.center.iastate.edu/events/KHOI Spring Fundraiser. Actually, that's a long link, but it's actually pretty easy to get to.
Yeah, it'll take you right there, hopefully. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot to look forward to.
Yes, and so we have one more minute, I think. Do you want me to read one more Kate?
Sure.
A heart-to-heart message? Okay, so let me pull it up or how about Pat, Mike, and Mike, do you have a heart-to-heart message for all the mothers out there this weekend?
I would like to give credit to my mother, Millie, and her trek from Idaho to Iowa in 1950, where I was essentially conceived on the road. I'm lucky to be an Iowan because of my mom, Millie.
Aw. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike Metz here, and I just want to honor my mother who passed away in December. But, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be the smiley guy that I am. And I also want to thank our station house mother, Anna Banana.
That's very nice. Thank you. And Mike Murphy.
And I just want to defend my mother. You shouldn't hold her responsible for how I turned out.
I love it. Well, that's lots of ways to celebrate motherhood, and we do it in so many different ways. And then the other favorite writer I know is Claire Steele, who also lives in England. And I'm going to close out with her poem, which is The Way My Mother Speaks by Carol Ann Duffy. I say her phrases to myself, in my head, or under the shallows of my breath. Restful shapes moving, the day and ever, the day and ever. The train this slow evening goes down England, browsing for the right sky. Too blue swap for a cool gray. For miles I've been saying, what like is it? The way I say things when I think. Nothing is silent, not silent. What like is it? Only tonight, I'm happy and sad like a child who stood at the end of summer and dipped a net in a green erotic pond. the day and ever, the day and ever. I am homesick, free in love with the way my mother speaks. So thanks to Carol and Claire as well for their heart-to-heart messages. Back to you, Pat.
Thank you so much, Anna Banana, for another installment of KHOY's Heart-to-Heart Messages.
Local talk airs at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Friday at 89.1 FM. And tell your friends far and wide, KHOY is streaming live at khoyfm.org. And please remember to support this station financially when you go to the website, khoyfm.org, and find that yellow Donate tab button. And while you're at the website, check out the Chad Elliott and Bo Ramsey concert this Sunday at C.Y. Stevens, starting at 5 p.m.
Thank you, Local Talk producers Ursula Rudenberg and Lynn Carey, and thank you, Dennis Hart, for your Friday report. Thank you, engineer Mike Murphy, and thanks to our guests, Jim Pease, Rich Iverson, Susan Guiazda, Carol Pluckrose, and thank you, co-hosts Mike Metz and Anna Magnuson. This is Pat Schlarbaum.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard was Elton John with Friends and Yusuf Islam, Longer Boats. And remember, you, the listener, what makes KHOY meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and
see you again
on the radio.